Well, y'all ready to hear the word? Amen. Hallelujah. I am ready, and I was ready at 8:30, 8 o'clock when I got here. I mean, you got to be ready. Amen. And you know, I just get excited about what the Lord's doing in my life for sure. And I get excited when I hear things, what God is doing in your life. Amen. And you know, I mean, you just put one little bit of foot forward, God's going to take care of the rest, right? Because he said, we got to take a step in the natural so that the supernatural can take over. That's right. But, I mean, I want the supernatural in my life. I mean, I can do this all day. But I want the supernatural when God steps in and does his thing. Y'all going to have to excuse me here. I just want to bend over, get some of these goodies out of here. That come all the way from Hershey, Pennsylvania. But that's not the message. It's I get hungry. Well, I want you to say, well, I'm hungry. Okay. Well, you're going to get the word. It's going to. This is temporary, right? Well, you don't even know what's in here yet. Let's put it this way, folks. How many in here likes chocolate? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I like, oh gosh, that's everybody. Okay. That's a piece. No. It's part of the message. There's a piece of, and you know, here we go. We got two. Is that good? I mean, would you eat that? Yeah, you would. All right. Look, now I got two, three, four of them now. All right. Now I'm going to leave these right here. We're going to share. This one even says special. I was going through the stash, and I saw that one with the red markings on it, and I said, let's see what that's about. Well, today I'm going to talk to you. There's two kinds of faith. You see this, don't you? You say, yeah, I want it, because you see it. If I'd have, like in the beginning, you said there was chocolate. Right, there was chocolate. If I'd have pulled out a piece of wood, bark, you see what I'm saying? You didn't see it. What do you think faith is? Faith is seeing those things, you know, that you don't naturally see in your own ability, right? So what I'm going to say is, would you rather have this little bit? Or would you rather have this one? See, that was unseen. That was faith. You're believing for something more when you'd have took this right off the bat. You see what I'm saying? It's things that we have to wait on for God. Oh, there's even another down in there. You see, little bitty ones. But you see what I'm saying? That's what we saw, the little one. But the bigger one's in the bag. It's like faith. You don't see it with your natural eyes. You're believing for it. So what I'm saying, there's two kinds of faith. Everybody remembers the little guy named Thomas? He walked with Jesus 3 years. And three and a half, four, you know, you can, so many days, so many nights, so many whatevers. But also, there was Abraham's faith. So what kind of faith do you have? Think about it. Do you have Thomas' faith or Abraham's faith? He didn't see it. You see this. If you were just hungry for chocolate, you say, yeah, I want that. That's all I want right there. But Abraham's faith had the big blessing. You see what I'm saying? There's so much more. You know, Thomas' faith, Abraham's faith. Abraham had a spiritual faith, a heart faith, and also which was based on God's, what God said, right? He believed what God said. How many times we have shunned away from what God has spoken to us and just went on for the little one? Oh, we say, well, this one's got special on it. That's all I want. But God has so much more for his people. For his children. There's so much more. Thomas had that natural faith. How you know natural faith? People. Listen to them talk. You can listen to a natural person speak, and their faith is this big. natural faith people is this big. They believe in the natural, what they see only. They don't go any further. Healings. If you're looking for a healing in your body, a lot of them have this one. But you have to understand, God has a bigger picture. He has the bigger one. And this one's even got almonds in it. You see what I'm saying? It's a bigger thing. We have to understand. We don't want to settle for this. We want to settle for God's full blessings in our life. Hallelujah. Thomas' faith was based solely on the physical evidence. He only believed what he saw. And a lot of Christians are in the same way. They just don't know how to stretch their faith for the big almond, Hershey with almonds. That he doesn't, believing in the natural, the physical evidence. You know, he believed only what he could see, not what God said. You know, I mean, we look at that land back there. Okay? It's land. Nothing on it. But in the faith realm, spiritual realm, we see a new building. When we go by there, oh man, that building looks beautiful. Well, you're lying. That's what people would say. You're lying. No, that's in faith. I'm believing that that's what that building looks like. And I'm believing that it's going to be paid for. It's going to be, you know, once it's erected, we'll walk in there debt free. I'm believing it. And a lot of people with that kind of faith will try to shut you down. But guess what? I get away from those kind of little faith people. I get away to big faith people. People that are saying, oh yeah. Matter of fact, we were talking the other day, last week after church, we were saying things like that, how God, you know, how we can see that building already. God is working and lining things up for that building back there. And I'm believing that it's going to take place. Matter of fact, I want you to look in John 20 and verse 24. John 20 and verse 24. Do you have big faith? Hallelujah. Big faith. And it says in verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Another one of those occasional churchgoers. He wasn't there. Just like last week. Remember what happened last week here? For the ones that were here, no. But the ones that weren't here are not. They didn't know. Hallelujah. And in verse 25 says, the other disciples therefore said to him, I hear this too, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see it in his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. No amens on that one, huh? 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. After 8 days, next Sunday. All right, next Sunday. All right, we're inside. And Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut. We'd have probably two or three left if Jesus walked through that door right over there. Rest of them would be running. Why is that? Because you didn't know about Jesus walking through a door that's closed. It's in his word. We shouldn't be astonished, would we? Plus, would we be able to recognize Jesus? Think about it. If you're not with somebody enough, you won't recognize them, right? I mean, I can go back to one of my class reunions, and there was one guy there. Well, it was a whole bunch. I didn't recognize him. I hadn't seen him since the last class reunion, probably 10 years earlier. And they might have not been there. The same thing in the church. That, you know, how many people are dedicated and obedient? They're here. You see them Sunday in and out, Thursdays. You see them in and out. And you get to make a relationship with them. And you start being able to recognize their face when they walk into the church. And you're connecting with one another. But when you're not, like we've heard, it's kind of embarrassing, but it's true. Is it your first time visitor? And they've been here before, but not, you know, maybe a month or so ago. But they give them a visitor deal. You know, we need to know God's children. We need to see God's children's face. Sure, some things, some people have to work. Sometimes things like that come up. But don't use an excuse for God to tell him you have something else to do, or you're too sleepy, or you're too this or too that. You see what I'm saying? We don't want to use an excuse. And really, anything other than the word is an excuse to God. You understand that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did I leave off on that scripture? After 8 days, disciples, okay, Jesus came in, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. He had to show him the wounds because he didn't believe it. You see what I'm saying? Where's our faith here? There's two kinds. Do we have, he had his own faith. Jesus already told him that he was gone, right? He was leaving. He was going to go to heaven and all of this. And John didn't believe it. John said he was dead. He was dead. I saw him. He wasn't breathing. He was beat up. He was cut. He was this, that, and the other. And we laid him in the tomb. Now, it's over with. But Jesus already told him he's going to rise again. But his faith wasn't strong enough to believe it. And let's go on down to verse 28. He says, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. How many times we do that whenever we're going through trouble, whenever things are going bad? Oh, we see God moving in our life. Oh, Lord, my God. And in verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But listen to this. If you got your Bible open, you ought to underline this, because this is for you. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus rose again, and now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he has told us, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. If Abraham, on the other hand, we know, 99 years old, and his wife was roughly 90 years, he robbed the cradle. You see what I'm saying? If he'd have went on what he saw, because if he's standing in front of something, a piece of brass or something, I don't know if they had mirrors, but if he stood in front of a mirror and saw his 99-year-old body, God, you sure? This just don't look right, God. But he didn't look at that, did he? He looked at what God's word said to him. God said, you will be the father, right? Many nations. And guess what? It happened. Same thing with us. Sometimes we know we're not equipped to do something. We're not ready to do something. We're not able to do something. But God will equip us. If he said it, I believe it, and I'm going to do it. Period. There ain't no question mark. There ain't nothing on there. No. It said it. I'm going to believe it. Abraham, 99 years old, and she was 90. God said, Abraham, you're going to have a child. But a lot of times we're just like Abraham. We go and make our own mess, which is still fighting and going on right now. But we have to understand. We have to obey God, Father of many nations. And he believed God's promise. And we have to understand that. Look in Romans 4 and verse 17. Romans 4 and verse 17. In verse 17 it says, and it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. In verse 18, who, contrary to hope, in hope, believed. Wow. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. In verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. In verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So don't ever, ever give up on God. If he's promised you something, and he promised you in his word, and he has spoken to you, go with it. Go with it and believe it. Will it happen this afternoon? I don't know. Will it happen in a week? I don't. But it took Abraham and Sarah a while, several years before Isaac was born, right? So in that time, stay in God's word, believing on the promises, what he has spoken to you, and then you'll start seeing all this take place. But don't give up. I mean, several years, with our minds and the busyness that goes on in our lives, guess what? We can pull away from what God promised us, and we won't be believing that. We'll be moving away. God ain't moving. God ain't thinking about me no more. There you go. You're moving away from the promises of God. So to go back into the Thomas faith. And you don't want Thomas faith. You want Abraham faith. You know, Abraham believed according to what God said, not according to how he felt. Just like people that come in here with a sickness or whatever it is going on in their life. I believe when you walk in here, the anointing of God comes upon you. And I believe the word of God is washing you for your healing. Amen. What do you mean by that? I'm not dirty. Well, it could be some things of the world still on you that's causing your healing not to take place. You see, a lot of things, the world is all on us and our healing can't get in. We already know by the stripes of Jesus that we're healed. But it's something that's holding us back from receiving the full healing in our life. So many people confess, I'm healed. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. But they continue on with their worldly things. Now, am I saying things wrong with the worldly things? I wouldn't do it because I want to stay lined up with God's word and I want the blessings. Because if I am doing what the world says, I am moving from underneath the funnel for the receiving of the blessings of God. So I've got to move under the blessing funnel to receive it. So, you know, I mean, it'd be like taking a shower, turn the shower on, and then stand outside and watch the waterfall. I'm not getting clean. I'm not getting anything. Nothing's happening. I have to do something. Just like God's word, not be only a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. I have to open the shower door and get in. And if you don't get in, you're not going to get wet. You're not going to get clean. You're not going to get clean. Just like the word of God, it washes over you each and every time you come. So if you hadn't been here in a while, you probably have a little stink about you. What do you mean by that? Well, you ain't been washed by the word of God. Oh, I read the Bible at home. I do this. But it's not the same. It's not the corporate anointing that's in this place. The sweet favor of the favor of God from the praise and worship. Do you have a band at your home? You have a praise and worship team at your home? Do you have the anointing of God moving rapidly throughout the place to be able to move and speak to you? You see what I'm saying? There's a difference. Sure, I put a CD on at the house before I come to church in the morning. Yeah, every morning. Before I come, I have a CD, a praise CD, playing away. Am I listening to it? Yeah, every now and then when I walk through doing something. Most of the time I'm preparing for the message or whatever, but I'm not like in here. I'm in it. I'm in the shower. I'm getting bathed by the word of God. And what is that doing? It's cleansing me from all unrighteousness. Ain't that what God says His Word does? It cleanses us from all unrighteousness and all the things that I have done the day before or whatever, the thoughts that come to my mind and things that I've said that I shouldn't have said, but it's all cleansing me into righteousness and cleansing me, taking away the unrighteous from me. You see what I'm saying? So you see, we have to understand, do we have Thomas faith? Or do we have Abraham faith? I want Abraham faith. You know, I mean, Thomas, he was one of those occasionals, you know. He's there every so often and expecting all this kind of stuff. He wants this. He wants that. He wants God to bless him. He wants that. He wants this. God's going to bless you to a point. You see what I'm saying? You're only going to be blessed to a point. Because why? Because you've got to get in the presence of God. You've got to understand that God wants you. He is a jealous God. He is wanting you and all of you, no matter what's going on around you. He wants you, each one of you. He wants me. There's times I have to get alone with God. Why is that? Because God wants me. And there's nothing wrong with it. And husbands and wives, if your husband don't want you to get alone with God, you have to pray for him. Husbands, if your wife won't let you get along with God, you have to pray for him. Because he is keeping you, they are keeping you away from being one with God. There's no way. So, I mean, I've seen it over and over and over. So don't have the Thomas faith. Have the Abraham kind of faith. You know, I don't know about you. It would have took a lot. Well, it did. I did move over here. But God told Abraham to get your stuff and move. Would you do that? I mean, you see what I'm saying? That would take a lot to pack up and leave. Whew. I mean, I figured I kind of did that when I left from the other side of the Mississippi River and come on this side of the Mississippi River, because definitely there was a language barrier. But it definitely wasn't a food barrier. Hallelujah. But, you know, we have to understand that Abraham's blessing was threefold: spiritual, physical, and material. Whoa, what you mean by that? God said that to his descendants of Abraham that this was the covenant, what? He made with Abraham. Material things. A lot of people say, well, you know, and people over there at church talking about prosperity. Well, God's, his threefold part of his blessings are, what is it that we have material things? Abraham had material things. And, you know, somebody said, well, a goat, a camel ain't no material. Well, in those days, if you didn't have one of those, that was a material thing. He could have walked, but God blessed him with camels and donkeys. He blessed him with all kinds of stuff. And you have to understand, it's a spiritual thing also, blessing spiritually, also physical. People who go through with illness in their body that are occasional or the Thomas kind of faith, guess what? They're going to be with that ailment. I don't care how hard you lay hands on, pray for them. Some of you got that right off the bat. But how much you pray for them, how much you lay hands on them, how no matter how much you do for them, if they're not wanting to receive it, if they got the Thomas kind of faith, they're not going to get well. So don't beat yourself up on the head. If they're not getting well, it's not your fault. It's not God's fault. Why? Because we got Abraham faith and they are healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. But if they don't get healed, it's not your fault. It's not God's fault. It's because you have Abraham faith and they have Thomas faith. They still got a runny nose, so they still see that or whatever's going on in their body. That, you know, we got to understand, by the stripes of Jesus, we take authority over that pain that's in your body. It's got to come out now. Oh, I received that. And 2 hours, 3 hours later, they're over there saying, man, this poor aching back. Hallelujah. Yep. Hallelujah. So we got to understand, when we speak it, God's word, we need to speak it in Abraham faith, not Thomas faith. Well, I didn't see him. Well, you need to be in church. You need to be in the place where God's at. You need to be in the place where the move of the Spirit is going to take place in your life. And you can't just say, I'll just pick it up somewhere else or whatever. Well, if you're in somewhere else, that's where God wants you, guess what? You're going to get it. You'll receive it. And you know, and I'm you know, like I said, I'm 65 years old. I belong to the Social Security Club. And you know, and I tell you what, I really don't need it. Why? Because I'm healthy and I'm wealthy and I got the wisement of the Word of God in my life. And so I do a lot more than a lot of people younger than me. Why is that? Because I'm standing in the Word. I'm being washed of all that oldness that comes off of me. You know, when you take a shower, don't they say after so a year or so, how many pounds of skin has come off of you? I mean, that's a known fact. There's skin that comes off of you. So if you're washing, being washed by the Word of God, guess what? You're getting rid of all that old stuff, that all unrighteous stuff. And why is that? So you can be able to. Didn't God say, I'll renew your strength? Oh, yeah. I mean, I tell you what, I may not be able to run faster than some of the young guys now, but I give them a good race. And, you know, and I ain't going to sit there after it's over with. Why, and do I exercise? I went by Anytime Fitness Friday. I parked my vehicle in the parking lot. The Word of God gives me strength. Now, I'm not saying anything about people that exercise. I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, I walk and I do my share. I'll ride the bike every now and then, you know, around the subdivision. But I'm just saying, God renews my strength. And we need to understand, if God renews my strength, He renews our strength. Thomas will say, well, I got to see it first. Abraham says, I believe you, Lord. He renews my strength. And I'm going to be renewed day by day. Matter of fact, look in Galatians 3:13. You know, the blessings include spiritual blessings, physical blessing, health and healing, material blessings, financial prosperity. Curses include sickness, poverty, and so on. But believers are not under the curse because why? We're under what God's word says. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs in a tree. He went to the cross for us. We are redeemed. We are redeemed us from the curse of the law. No, I ain't going there. Because Abraham was Abraham. We are Abraham's seed. Got to understand that. The Abraham's blessings ought to be ours. Right? And because we belong to Christ, as God's word says, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Do you break promises? Have you had man or woman break a promise? Yeah. God won't. And you have to believe God won't. Because have the Abraham faith, when he said you're going to have a child, he believed his word even though he was closing in on 100. He had a child. The right child later. But you see what I'm saying? We have to trust in God for the promises because we are Abraham's seed. And it says in Abraham, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That means we are heirs of the blessings. Everybody likes a blessing, right? Here's that word promise. Again, Abraham, heirs according to the promise. Therefore, if we are Christ, we are Abraham's seed, we are heirs according to the promise. You are an heir. We are an heir to the promises of God. That is a whole lot better than your family leaving you their will or whatever, and that, because this the blessings. If your family was well off and they leave you $1 million and you can't walk, $1 million ain't nothing to what God can do. But we got to trust in God and not the money. I've seen people do that. When I was living in Zachary, I heard people all the time that, you know, when a paper mill economy went down and people started leaving out, they were going to Georgia, they were moving to the Carolinas, everywhere there, wherever a paper mill was, they were moving out. And it wasn't long after they moved out, the economy come right back up and it started hiring again, but they were already gone. If they would have been listening to God, they would have kept that seniority, which they had years of, and all the benefits that came with it, all the promises that came with it that that paper mill company had said they would have gotten. But no, they have left, and they were starting off, well, kind of at the bottom with all their years of experience. You know. But you see what I'm saying there? We got to trust in God, not trust in finances. I mean, as I told you a lot of times, I left Zachary, left over there, and moved here, and I think it was like $100 and something a month. I wasn't looking at the money. I was looking at the ministry, where I needed to be, where God wanted me. Because at first I said, oh, no, because I was making good money, very good money across the river at the paper mill, and then I moved over here. And I made that much, almost an hour. You see what I'm saying? But it was God and not me wanting the finances. And it wasn't long after that my finances started blooming. Everything was happening. Why? Because I was continuously tithing. I was continuously doing what God said to do. You see what I'm saying? It's a time that we got to understand. We receive the blessings the same way Abraham received part of his blessings through faith. I came in faith, believing what God said, not believe. Everybody, my friends over there say, you crazy? That little bit of money? Well, I was doing it because God said it. I wasn't doing it because I need a job. No, I did. I got laid off at the paper mill. That was another time they had another, you know, downfall. But I got laid off, and then I moved over here, and God had promoted me from that day on. I was continuously in the will of God. And when we're in the will of God, we get the promises. It says, like Abraham received part, we can be like Abraham receiving part of his blessing. Through faith. That's what it's all about. It's through faith. It's not what you see. Thomas see. Abraham did. By faith. So we need to understand. To give up on what we see. This don't look good. I don't know what to do. Everything is looking bad. It's so gloomy. But in Abraham faith. Thank you, Jesus. I'm walking through. Because why? Because you said it. And I'm promised it. I'm an heir of the king. And I am going to reap the benefits by following you in faith. And we have to understand. But you don't get your blessings with Thomas' faith. No. You don't get a blessing. You get blessings by Abraham faith. By not seeing, let whatever you seeing out there mess you up. I've said this plenty of times. When I was in college playing football, those big old linemen, I guess if they were standing on the floor, they were still that tall. And they were that wide. Looked like a double-wide trailer going down the interstate. And you'd be in the backfield wanting to know what hole to run. One, two. That's still him. And you go and you count it again. And you, okay, we're going to run this hole. Woo, and the center's way over there. Might as well be a sweep. But no, we have to be focused on where we're going. We have to understand that's where the blessing's going to be, over there. So I need to go through that hole, because if I don't went this way, nobody was blocking. They were running downfield to block. You see what I'm saying? The things that God lines up for us, he's lining it up for a reason. So if he said, go here, he means go there. Go there, nobody's blocking. You can ask any of the linemen that play football. They're running downfield to block. Then you got some big old linemen with no teeth and all that kind of stuff looking at you. They don't even wear a mouthpiece. Why? Because they don't have no teeth to protect. So you run to this hole right here. You stay right there and you follow that hole, even though those guys are that wide and they're that tall. You see what I'm saying? That we need to understand that we need to follow that plan right there and stay on the plan of God. And, you know, to receive the blessings the same way Abraham received part of his blessing through faith, but you don't give it with Thomas' faith. You get it with Abraham's faith. Hallelujah.